These are all audience reviews for a film. I just want you to tell me what film. The cinema equivalent of having your teeth pulled.
Oh.
It was so loud that it hurt our ears. It also didn't make sense. It was stupid. Rubbish. Bang, bang. Boom, boom. Shoot, shoot. Some guys running in different directions, chasing something. Some explosion. What a waste of time. Better watch Back to the Future again.
He broke his foot, though, Biden. Playing with his dog. Stay still, old man. That's going to look great at the inauguration, isn't it? He'll probably have a drip as well.
Please welcome America's first very brittle president.
Yeah.
He is a bit old, isn't he?
He's not that old, is he?
He is a bit old.
Yeah. He's old.
He's only 78.
78. I mean, how old are you, Jimmy?
Welcome to The Anglophiles, a podcast where two Americans break down British movies and TV. I'm Sheldon.
I'm Danny.
And I'm upset.
Why?
I'm jumping right into it because I have some British news that annoyed me and makes me sad.
Oh, okay.
There is a British show that has been ported to America and we love and we watch it and have been thinking about covering it for the podcast for some time, The Circle.
Oh, yeah.
The Circle UK just got canceled.
Oh, how many seasons did they have?
So they've done three. So essentially after their first season, it was an instant hit and they started porting it all over.
So wait, why is it canceled?
It's kind of weird because it has great ratings.
Mm.
Like, it's doing really well. However, I mean, I think there are two things in play. One, Brits don't do reality as long-running as we do. I think it gets to a point where they're like, yeah, we've done it, we've seen it, this was the show, we did the show with the people, let's make a new show with new people. But then also, apparently it's really expensive to produce.
Oh, interesting. For
like, I mean, when you think about it, they have to own that whole building and do, like, everything inside there. So I think, like, the rumor, the grapevine that I'm hearing is they're trying to sell it to Netflix for, like, really high, like, higher than the other ones.
Gotcha.
And if Netflix doesn't buy it, then somebody else will probably pick it up.
Interesting.
So I imagine The Circle will come back, but it probably won't be the same show.
Gotcha.
It'll be a little different. Because, like, as we'll talk about on our eventual Circle UK episode, the Netflix show, like, the American one and the British one are very different.
Mm.
And I've got a lot of opinions on how Netflix needs to, like, take some... Look at the Brits. They did everything right. Why do you change things?
Oh, okay, interesting. I've only watched the American Circle. I have not seen the British Circle.
Yeah, I think you watched like the first two episodes with me or something. Mm-hmm. You might remember a couple of the characters. Freddy,
yeah.
Who's real intense. Dan with the turtle. but I think it's a fantastic show. I love it. And it just made me sad where I'm currently like rewatching kind of episodes to like watch it all for when we cover our podcast. It was just like, of course, that's when I find out.
Yeah.
Like whenever I'm catching up. It's a
Interesting.
It's a bummer. Well, what do you have anything going on?
Well, I don't have British news, but I do have news about this podcast.
Oh, what does that mean?
It's not about the podcast.
Oh, okay.
No,
I thought you were going to tell me we're canceled.
We're canceled. The Anglophiles.
We're going to stop. This is the last second of the podcast.
The Anglophiles is canceled. No. No, we'll keep doing this until we run out of British shows and have
until
our...
they run out of Britain. I think we're good there.
Yeah. This past week went into my workplace. I physically went into the office.
Oh, right.
For the first time in, what, like 7 months?
Longer than that.
It's been a long time. Because during lockdown...
You had to run in a couple of times.
I did.
During lockdown.
I was going in once a week because we have a small team and nobody had gotten COVID. And there were a couple things that were easier to do in the office than remotely. So I was going in once a week.
And you guys
and then,
are in like different even like rooms. So
yeah,
like you're set up, you're not even close to
nobody
somebody.
Nobody was
so like
sitting near each
sense.
Other. And so we were like, yeah, it's fine. But then cases got really bad here in Los Angeles, so I just stopped going in because I was like, it's not worth the risk.
No.
So yeah, I haven't been in 6 or 7 months. And so I finally went in and one of my coworkers had left something on my desk that I forgot that I had sent to our office.
Ooh.
And it was one of our listeners, Jeremy Bundy Cook, who sent us that package of candy and crisps and British coins.
Yeah.
He also sent us in a second package a new treat.
Ooh, yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, so he sent us something that we're going to actually try for snack time.
Wow.
Or, sorry, tea time on this episode. But it's been on my desk for a couple months now. Because I just I forgot that I had it sent to my office, and then I forgot to go get it. So anyway, Jeremy, if you are listening, we have received it.
We got it.
I checked it. It's in good state. It doesn't seem expired or bad. So we're going to try it for tea time.
I mean, and luckily that's the thing about a lot of like chocolates and candies. As long as they haven't been open, they can last a while. If you open it, then they can go bad quick.
But I'm excited for this. So we'll get to that later during tea time. But
yeah, very excited.
Yep. Well, are you excited to talk about our topic this week?
I am. It's interesting because I know people have mentioned, like, we need to do more panel shows. I really want to do more panel shows because I love them.
Yeah.
It's a lost art form that the U.S. doesn't do very much anymore.
There's something that the U.K. does so well are these panel shows, these quiz shows, that we don't really have anything like that here.
Because being a TV entertainer is a job over there.
Mm.
You can be somebody who just appears on panel shows.
Like a media presenter.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really...
And we don't really have as much of that.
That's so interesting. I've never really thought about that. But I could name you, like, 20 English or Irish personalities that are literally all they do is go on quiz shows and host things. So, wow, that's so interesting.
I think America is kind of the opposite, where everybody is so nondescript with what they do now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you are trying to make it in entertainment, you have like high aspirations and you keep like climbing to the top, and like an actor is also a host, is also a writer, is also an influencer. And so like the waters are so muddied that you can't bring back the same stable that they can do of comedians, where it's like, we can pull from this group of 20 and get 6 to do this panel show. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. Like, there used to be a lot of that in like the 50s and 60s in America before I think like Match Game and stuff took off, where people realized like, oh, we can do this with normal Americans and don't need celebrities.
Yeah.
And then I think America got more interested in watching regular Americans compete than celebrities put on a show.
Yeah. Well,
which is upsetting.
We've talked about this before when we covered Would I Lie to You, how there really isn't an American equivalent for any of these British panel shows.
Yeah.
The only thing that comes to my mind is, and I've mentioned this before, but Hollywood Squares.
That's the closest.
Because that would be a handful of celebrities all trying to be funny, but also trying to get these answers right. Yeah, it's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, and they've been rolling out things lately that are similar in America, but it's pitting like shows against each other.
Mm.
Like the cast of this show versus the cast of this show. And it's like, we don't care about that. Like, we want to see the people. And I think that's the final veil that needs to come down for America, is to pull down that veil and let us understand that these performers are people. We understand that they're more than just an actor in a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the people who are just watching, like, a crime drama may not know. They just know crime people solve crime. Great show. I'm talking about, like, the NCIS, the CSI, all of those. That crowd of people may not recognize celebrities just based on their name.
Okay.
But I think, for the most part, most of America could handle these type of shows. And it's bonkers that they don't exist.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Taskmaster show tried in America and failed spectacularly because Reggie Watts is not a Greg Davies.
Yeah.
Like, it's like they take them over here and they don't understand why they're working.
Mm.
Or they're too soft about it. And then when it doesn't work, they're like, nope, Americans can't handle British humor. Which, maybe.
Sometimes. So the show that we are covering today is
The Big Fat Quiz. The Big Fat Quiz show, the Big Fat Quiz of the year, the Big Fat Quiz of the decade, the Big Fat Quiz of everything.
Yep.
It's a big old fat quiz. It's hosted by Jimmy Carr. It always has three rotating teams of two celebrities, actors, presenters, and it always features Jimmy Carr like giving them questions, a variety of questions. There's often like little bits in between the running gags that happen throughout. And by the end of it, one of them is crowned the winner. They mm-hmm. don't win anything, as is most British shows. You just win and yeah. job done. And it's been going on since about 2004 now. I think that was the first year.
Okay.
But it really, I think, didn't figure out what it was until a few years in. Mm. I think the Noel and the Noel Fielding and Russell Brand, their first appearance as the goth detectives, I think that was when everyone got a flash of what it could be. And now, like, it's not a big fat quiz show unless it devolves into chaos. Like, if it doesn't do that, it's boring and you're like, why did I watch it?
I do love when they go off the rails. It is great.
Yeah. It's almost a necessity at this point.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, when this show came onto my radar. I think it was when we were working at Zephyr, and our friend Emily recommended it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Emily. And I knew who Noel Fielding was, didn't know who anybody else on there was. I didn't even know who Jimmy Carr was. Mm. But I really love Noel Fielding. Who is a beloved icon of this podcast. I feel like he's been in so much that we've covered and we just love him. But, yeah, so that's initially why I watched it was, for Noel Fielding or Richard Ayoade. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
My first, like, I think I knew Jimmy Carr first out of all these people, which is weird, right?
That is really weird.
Now that I say it out loud, it's weird.
That it would have been an actor.
And I would have too. But I cannot remember the name of it now. I think it's called Concentration. There was a game that Jimmy Carr did for Comedy Central, like in the early 2000s. And essentially he would ask questions and the guests would be tortured and they would have to answer the questions while they're getting like...
I vaguely remember that.
They would have like clothespins pinned to their ear and have to answer questions.
Because that was an American show.
Yeah, but Jimmy was the host.
I vaguely remember that and I didn't remember that that was Jimmy.
And I just remember the whole time, I'm like, this guy is like, has the weirdest, worst laugh. But I was paid more attention to him than the show.
Yeah.
And then when it got canceled, I was bummed. And I think it was something similar to me. Maybe it was when I was at Zephyr and somebody recommended and I saw Jimmy Carr was the host and went, okay, yeah, like I'll watch that. And I know there are other shows that he hosts as well that we can talk about on here. But, yeah. I think he is such a perfect host for any quiz show. He has an air of authority, but on this show in particular, like, people will give it back to him.
Yeah.
People make fun of him every show, and he's a great sport. Like, yeah. He knows how he looks. Like, there's an episode where they say he looks like a ventriloquist dummy, and he goes over and sits on their legs and is just... I don't look anything like a ventriloquist dummy. And it becomes a running gag throughout the show.
No, he's a great host. He really is. He's very funny.
And I think also, though, he does a good job of wrangling the chaos.
Yeah.
That he lets the jokes happen. He lets people respond. I think it's got to be tough if you're in that position of being like, I have to do this quiz show. Like, I have to ask questions and get answers. Technically, but really the show is entertainment.
Yeah.
So like he has to kind of like carefully balance, like get the questions, make it go through, like fill the 2-hour time slot.
Yeah.
But still like keep it moving along where it's like, we can't make it boring. We can't let people do jokes that last too long and derail everything.
Yeah.
So I feel like he has such an underrated job on the show and often is not, like, his comedic efforts aren't sung enough because everyone else is trying so hard.
Yeah, it's true.
But I love it.
Who's your favorite personality?
Ooh, it's tough. Because I think...
Because I know, I don't think I've watched as many of them as you. And just,
I've probably only watched half of them. Maybe
the people that I can, that come to mind for me are Jonathan Ross.
And he's on almost every single one.
Mel Gilderoy.
Yeah.
Gilderoych?
I think that's how you say it, yeah.
Noel Fielding, Russell Brand,
yeah.
Jack Whitehall.
Mm-hmm. You're naming some of the staples. Like, those are
Richard Ayoade.
Yeah, and those are like the big recurring people. Like, they tend to pull from the same group. I mean, like I was saying, it's once you know somebody is great, you keep bringing him in.
Yeah.
And I think the new crowd now, Aisling Bae has been in a couple of them. And
it's B.
I always get her name
Aisling
wrong.
Aisling
B. Either her first name or her last name. But it's the new Taskmaster crew is becoming the new crew on this, with like Nish Kumar has shown up on a couple. Joe Lycett and Rob Beckett. There's a great Rob Beckett and Aisling Bae were on a team, and they called their team name Tits and Teeth. Because that's the thing about this, is like, part of the show is you get to choose a team name.
Yeah.
And not every year, they don't always do it, but usually they ask like the teams, what is your name?
Yeah.
And in the very early years, like, people took it seriously. In the first 2 years, people took it way too seriously. Mm. Especially like...
The quiz part. Gotcha.
And I think you can tell the bristliness when, in the aforementioned, like the first appearance of the goth detectives, when Russell and Noel are just refusing to do the quiz. Yeah. Like, David Walliams cannot handle it.
Yeah.
And is like freaking out because he's like, this is a quiz show. You're not doing the thing. But then I think in doing that, he birthed an archetype on the show where it's, so every show has to have three specific teams.
Mm-hmm.
You have the smart team, who is there to answer questions and be very smarter than everyone else.
Yeah.
To lord over their intelligence. Usually if David Mitchell or Richard Iowade is there, one of the two of them is the smart team.
I love when David Mitchell's on.
He's so good. So you have the smart team.
Okay.
Then you have the team that exists to make jokes, the humor, the comedy team.
Yeah.
Noel is always on that team. Like, usually Russell Brand always on that team.
Yep.
And then the third group. So you have smart group, funny group, and then antagonizing Jimmy group. And sometimes they have to kind of figure it out for themselves as it's happening. And you can tell, like, it's this weird unwritten rule of them figuring out. And like, quickly when somebody is like jumps to the head or jumps to the lead, one of the other teams, you can just tell is like, all right, we're just going for jokes. Like, or we're just going to make fun of Jimmy.
They're going to put funny answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that has mixed results, too. I think there are some teams where one person wants to give good answers and one person wants to give funny ones, and it doesn't always work. Like, teaming up Richard Iowade with an Olympian. I forget who she was. She was, like, a big British Olympian. But she's just dry the whole time and doesn't... She doesn't get his humor, the jokes he's trying to make.
Yeah.
And so at one point, she literally draws a line down the middle of the screen so that he can answer his jokes and she can answer what she thinks are the real things. But that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess for my favorite person that I like, it's probably Richard Iowade.
Ooh, yeah.
Because you don't know what Richard you're going to get every time. Like, usually, I've told you, usually Noel gets bored by the end and is just kind of like not paying attention anymore. And it's kind of fun. Like, Mel is always going to be giving people too many treats and we're going to see how cute and old she is. And I think everyone has their thing that you expect. Like, Jonathan Ross is going to be like, oh, he's just smarmy as ever. We love him. But he's going to always usher in some new person next to him. But Richard is different every single show, and you don't know if he's going to be, like, polite and fun, or if he's going to be, like, a bad boy, or if he's just going to not give a fuck and, like, finally break and then yell at other people.
I do love the one. I can't remember what year quiz show it was, but there's one where he says the F word, like, twice, and then Mel was like, Richard, I've never heard you cursing. And then she was like, I don't like it. It was really funny.
Yeah, that's a really good one. I feel like Mel does a great job on the show. There are some people, I think, especially whenever you watch somebody come in from another show where you're like, oh, I recognize you from this. You're a little worried, like, how are you going to handle quiz show? Especially like somebody's first appearance. You're like, here we go.
Honestly,
it's either going to be good or bad. There's no middle ground.
When Chelsea Peretti was on, that was really interesting because I think she did a really good job keeping up with everyone humor-wise. Yeah. But there was also a really fun element of her having zero context for a lot of the English-specific culture things.
Yeah, so like both the history like of what happened that year as well as like absurdist comedy. Like Chelsea Peretti literally plays herself on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, she doesn't do absurdist. Like, she does nothing. Like,
she's really funny.
There have only been a couple of Americans. I think they usually, there was Chelsea Peretti, and exactly what you're saying, the fun of her is her just not getting it, but like playing along that she doesn't get it.
Very, very funny. Yeah.
I think that's the thing is, like, if you understand that, like, oh, I'm the joke right now, I'll be the joke. And she was cool with it. You had Michelle Wolf was on.
Oh, I love Michelle Wolf.
She's good. I think it's another one of those where it's like, she just doesn't quite mesh with
the
British.
She doesn't really get the tone of it.
Yeah. And then Rob Delaney, who is an American who got, he got famous in America for his Twitter account, but then he did the British show,
Catastrophe.
Yeah. So he did Big Fat Quiz after he'd been living in Britain for a few years. And you can tell, like, he's got this, like, American charm to him where, like, he wants to come on and show people, I know British facts. I've been paying attention. I've been living here. And it's like, it's cute, but it's not what the show
is.
It's not what you want.
Yeah.
And so it's fine. And I think the Americans do fine. But it's watching the other surprises show up where, like I mentioned, the show has these staples. The ones like, people come back every year, every other year. And for the most part, like, you'll see them all the time. But then somebody will show up, like, Russell Howard, is that his name? I think he was one of those people that when he came on the show, you think, oh no. I think a lot of people don't love his humor or think, like, you're just a pretty boy. You know, I don't know if you can mesh with this absurdist weirdness that is the show.
Yeah.
And he did the Rob Delaney right, where he was like, I'm smart, I know all these answers, but delivered them, wrote them in funny ways, so even when you're reading them out loud, it's kind of a joke, even though it's a straight answer.
That's,
because then, like, you tell the joke, and then while you get the studio laugh, you go, no, actually, that's it, because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
And I think he did a
That's gotta be hard to do.
Yeah, he did a great job. That episode surprised me. I'm shocked. I think he's only done one. And that is a shocking thing, the people that only do one and don't come back.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the people, you want to see him come back again and again. Like, put Joe Brand back on quiz show. Why has she only done one?
Oh,
that's insane.
I love Joe Brand. Oh. Who is your favorite team that you've seen?
I mean,
because Noel Fielding and Russell Brand are...
Got Detectives are phenomenal.
Classic team. Really loved when Mel was teamed up with Jack Whitehall. Because they're so different in age and personality, but they just meshed really well together. It's really cute.
No, that is true. I think they're really good. Jack Whitehall is also really good with I can't remember him. James Corden. They start. So there's a tradition that because it's a long show, people bring food in between, and on like the second or third ad break, you see them like eating food while they're doing it, which is wild. But it was started because of Jack and James. They showed up wearing tuxedos for their episode.
Wow.
And they ordered a pizza delivered to the studio and drank red wine and ate pizza in tuxedos.
Wow.
And that kind of kicked everything off. So
I love them.
Yeah, I really like them together. I think they're only together once. I don't remember her name. She's Irish. Sarah Milken, I think, and David Mitchell.
Mm.
They're phenomenal together.
Okay.
I love them. Like, they're both really smart and really dry. And you can just tell that they're making each other laugh more than they're making the audience or anyone else. And it's like, those are fun moments where smart people are just like, I think I really like that. And then nowadays, I love... I love Richard Iowade and Noel Fielding.
Yeah.
That's
like, great.
The two of them together, obviously they're friends outside the show. They've been on the Mighty Boosh and IT Crowd together. Was Richard on Mighty Boosh?
Yeah. Remember, he's one of the Shaymen.
That's right. He is one of the Shaymen. I think there are a lot of really great teams. But if you were on there, let's say you had to be picked to be on the show.
Okay. I would love to go on Big Fat Quiz Show.
You're going to go on Big Fat Quiz Show. You're going to be, you know, the token American.
Okay.
You get to choose your partner.
Mm.
Who do you choose on Big Fat Quiz? Let's say it's a Big Fat Quiz of everything. Anything could be on the quiz at all.
That's hard because I love David Mitchell. And just, like, being in his presence would be an honor. But then I also love Richard Ayoade because he's really cute.
Yeah.
He's so cute. But then that's the thing. I have such a crush.
Do you want to quiz with somebody you're going to be just flirting with and staring at?
But I also am like in love with Noel Fielding.
Yeah.
So that's really hard. I would say, actually, no. I love Noel Fielding. Anything that he's in, I will watch. I love it. His humor is my life. But I don't think that I would be a good team up with Noel Fielding because I wouldn't know how to play off of his humor.
Yeah, you really gotta roll
I'm not talented enough. So David Mitchell and I think would be good.
Yeah. I could see that working.
Yeah, I think we'd be a good team because
you could combine your knowledge.
He would know a little more of the like highbrow historical things, and I would know a little more of like the pop culture things. And so together, I think we'd mesh really well.
Yeah, I think you could make that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who would you team up with?
I mean, we mentioned her earlier, but I think teaming up with Mel would be phenomenal.
Oh my gosh, I should have picked Mel.
Because she would just give me, one, a lot of treats. Two, she always builds up her partners.
Mel
like,
would love you.
Oh, we would have the best time.
Like, I think if I were teamed up with Mel, she'd be like, you're sweet. I think if she teamed up with you, she would love
I feel
you.
Like we'd get along really well. Yeah, that would be fantastic. Or there's somebody I haven't brought up yet that I would love to. Do you know Big Narsty?
No.
Okay, so, like, this is somebody... Americans don't know who Big Narsty is.
Okay.
And I love this man.
Okay.
So, this is a picture of him. This is what he looks like.
Okay.
He has been on Big Fat Quiz twice, and his appearances on Big Fat Quiz, amongst a couple of other things, essentially got him his own talk show.
Gotcha.
Because he is so funny and so...
Wow.
Unexpected, where like he is like a rapper, a singer, a performer.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't come from the comedy world. So it's like a lot of the built up jokes of British humor, like you were saying with the David Mitchell, the very highbrow stuff. Like, yeah. He doesn't care for it. In fact, on one of his shows, he pretended to fall asleep because there are too many white jokes happening.
Oh. And so, which like, is nice commentary.
It is, especially because it's like, it's a show that most of the time has five white dudes and one white woman.
Yep.
They've been switching up a lot lately, like as has many other panel shows and comedy shows, trying to like better diversify.
Yeah.
But having somebody who is not at all afraid to call it out. And
yeah,
like
yeah.
he did it. One of his partners was Catherine Ryan. And that one is phenomenal. I think another one is Sandy Toesfig.
Oh, wow.
But I feel like he would be phenomenal because he's always making Jimmy laugh and he's always saying crazy catchphrases. Like at one point, he's just yelling bong a whole bunch, like after he would do. And then he was trying to do you know Mo Farah?
No.
The Olympic runner who she did the heart with her head or around her head when she won. She like
no.
took her flag. It's a huge moment. She took her flag and then made her heart with her hands above her
oh,
head.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
Like, it's a huge cultural moment, like Mo Farah and doing the Mo Farah. He thought he was doing it, but he was making a heart with his hands, like a small one in front of his chest. And he would say, the Mo Farah. And everyone was laughing because it wasn't
doing it.
But he just kept doing it.
That's
and
really
like,
cute.
That's the kind of thing that I love about this show, where one little thing will happen in the episode and you're like, the quiz is no longer important. We are only talking about this.
I love
this.
When they play off of stuff, and I love when they do callbacks to those jokes. And honestly, what is so good about this show and the other panel shows is that it's such good comedy that is not scripted.
Yeah.
They're just all very good.
Yeah. And the seasons or the episodes that are very good, most of the ones that like I've watched and you've watched with me
yeah.
are lighthearted and fun.
Yeah.
There are a couple that we have not watched because some of the people are... There are notorious, awful, awful guests
Ooh.
That have kind of brought down the whole show by being, like, not fun and sour. Because it is one of those things, you have to play along. You have to, like, go with the flow and know that, like, everyone's making fun of everyone here.
Yeah.
I'm going to get made fun of. And if you don't understand that, it may be really hurtful, I think a lot of these people who are built up in like pop stardom have never heard people honestly
like roasting them,
roasting their flaws in front of an audience.
Interesting.
Where they're like, my publicist wouldn't allow this, but it's like, that's the show.
Interesting.
And so I think for the most part, I totally agree with
that's you. That's so funny. But I didn't even think about it until you mention it. But that is all everyone's doing is kind of like digging at each other. Like they're always digging at Jimmy, at Jonathan Ross, David Mitchell for sure.
Yeah.
That's and like, really interesting.
And early on too, like it's one of those shows that you can tell, you can watch humor evolve through like the oddies into the tens.
The oddies?
They call it that in the show.
The naughties?
The naughties. The oddies.
The oddies.
There's a lot, I think, in the early years of the show and just in the early years of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Comedy was in a weird edgelord place where people were saying stuff to be brash and offensive and weird. And there's a lot of, like, especially, I don't want to throw it out and, like, cancel people. But there's a lot of stuff that does not hold up now. And people probably would not keep their jobs if this was more public. Like, if America knew some of the stuff James Corden said on the show,
interesting.
Yeah. I don't want to bring it up. I don't want to go too deeply into it. But you do see how much comedy has changed, and to the point where, like, there are always invisible lines of what we can and can't make fun of.
Yeah.
Some people have that line closer to their chest, and some people have it far where they're like, you can't make fun of anything.
Yeah.
And other people, like Noel Fielding, is like, yeah, do whatever you want. Call me like a crow child. I don't care. Like, I think some people embrace it, and that's the way to do quiz show.
Yeah.
And some people definitely don't. I would love to ask you then who you think. I'm going to give you three names.
Okay.
And then you tell me who you think is the most like notorious as the worst guest on the show.
Okay.
All right.
Are they people I know?
Yeah. So they'll be, I'm going to give you like three famous British names.
Okay.
And then you tell me if,
who I think was the worst,
who you think is the worst. Yeah. So,
is Piers Morgan on there?
No, thankfully I don't think he has ever been on here.
Invited.
No, God, I mean, ooh, that would be awful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He would act so much better than everybody, too, the whole time. Ugh. So, Warwick Davis.
Okay.
Gordon Ramsay.
Okay.
Mel B.
And Mel B?
Yeah.
Is that Scary Spice?
Yeah.
Okay. One of them is, like, what? Considered to be the worst?
Considered to be the worst guest.
Okay. I'm gonna say, out of those three, Mel, I've seen Mel B in interviews. She's fun.
Yeah.
So, unless she was having a weird day on that specific day, I'm not going to guess it's Mel B. And Warwick Davis is also really delightful. And I love Gordon Ramsay. Like, love. I've watched so many of his shows. I've read two of his books. But I can also see Gordon Ramsay not meshing with the vibe of this show. So I'm going to guess Gordon Ramsay.
No. So that one, Gordon Ramsay was teamed up with Rob Brydon. Okay. That was a really early one. So it still wasn't like the humor of the show wasn't figured out yet as much. But they were okay. It is, in fact, Mel B.
Really? Why?
So apparently on her show.
And his worst, like, just not funny, or...
So, no, there have been people that I think aren't that funny, and, like, early on, like, I left off, there's, like, Sharon Osbourne just seems, like, lost the whole time, and there are a couple of people that you can tell you're just, like, you don't know what's going on.
Gotcha.
Like, both in the quiz aspect and the like, making this specific show, they don't know where they are.
Gotcha.
And there are a couple of those where you're, like, well, you're just forgettable more than anything.
Yeah.
But Mel, from the start, is contentious with every single member of the cast.
Whoa!
Not friendly ribbing. Like, from the start, makes fun of somebody's Irish accent. And it's like, oh, that's how you're gonna be. And I think it, like... And then, yeah, she says Richard Iowati is weird for eating a banana.
That's weird.
Right? Yeah. And so I think from the start, people were like, what are you doing? Like, are you trying to roast
us?
She was
truly being scary that day.
And then, like, there, It's one of the best Richard Iowati rants I've ever seen. Like, he responds to her talking about how it gives him energy. It fuels him for the show. It makes him good at quiz show. And she seems, like, actually scared of him by the end. Like, as she should, because he's scary when he yells.
Yeah.
But then, like, you just get a sense, too, that all of them are holding back Spice Girls jokes that somebody must have said, you can't make them. It's not allowed. But by the final ad break, nobody gives a fuck. And they're all just, like, going in on her, making fun of the Spice Girls. Like, it's interesting.
That is really interesting. Wow. Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's one where, like, you never know, though, who is going to be, like, hugely successful and funny on the show and who's not. Like I mentioned with Big Narsty,
yeah,
he's a random rapper that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be good at it,
yeah,
but he's game. Like, he understands how to play this thing. And I think she just kind of miscalculated and then didn't realize what she had done.
Yeah.
And, ooh, it got bad.
Interesting.
It got real bad.
Yeah, and that's interesting because it is such a show where, like, there really aren't rules. Like, there aren't rules.
It's true.
So anything can happen. And because of that, that's why the show is so amazing and has so many amazing episodes, because anything can happen. But it also does allow room for, you know, a bad experience.
Yeah. I mean, it allows room for everything. There are, like, so many different scandals, like, throughout this, especially the one with the goth detectives are, like, the first guys to play for jokes, and then they're in dead last. They're so far behind that Jimmy just says, fine, if you get this question right, you'll get 22 points. And then they end up winning that episode. And then, like, there's...
David Williams was so mad.
Oh, and then whenever they come back, the 10-year anniversary of the show, in 2015, they do it. And it's the two of them again. And Noel Fielding takes off into the audience and, like, gets an audience member's phone number, and throughout the whole show they're texting and trying to get the answers. The best part is they're still getting most of the questions wrong, even by cheating.
That's so funny, because I remember on Taskmaster, Noel Fielding also, they were doing that challenge where they were being timed, and
yeah,
Alex Horn put the he put the timer down, and Noel went over and hit it and paused it. He's a cheater.
He is. But it's a show that allows room for that. He didn't get punished for it. He doesn't get his points taken away on Big Fat Quiz, because the points don't matter. Yeah. It's about...
you're not winning anything.
Throwing candy at other teams, or having a big food fight, or, you know, like, showing what Mel's shoes look like.
I remember that when Jack Whitehall goes over and picks up her little shoes.
Little brown shoes.
They're like loafers.
And there's another episode where, like, she's embarrassed that she's wearing, like, really comfortable pants. Aww. And she wants to demonstrate how something like Jimmy is holding is used, but she makes the people, like, block her pathway so the audience and the cameras don't see her pants.
Oh my god, Mel. I love her.
Oh,
what a fun lady.
What a fun, phenomenal lady. Oh my god. I would love to talk more about this show, but we're going to have to take a moment to give a word from our non-existent sponsors. And by that, I mean, we're going to take a snack break the way
it's
that the people on the show.
A tea break, Sheldon. Remember, we've rebranded 5 episodes ago. We rebranded Snack Time to be tea time.
We're going to have a tea.
We're having tea. Okay, welcome to Tea Time. This is the part of the podcast where we take a break, drink some tea, and try a British snack. So we've got something special for today. First of all, what kind of tea are you drinking?
I'm drinking the Darjeeling again. I think that I've had before. It's Taylor's Darjeeling.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Fancy.
It's a good afternoon nighttime tea.
This is the Sip and Be Merry from Republic of Tea. It's technically a Christmas tea, but it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You don't have to
drink Christmas tea at
Christmas.
It's
a black tea with caramel, vanilla, and cardamom.
Ooh, it's a good combo.
It's very good. And I put a little sugar. I normally just do tea plain, but I put a little sugar and milk. But yeah, it's really good.
Sounds really good.
So let's try our snack.
This snack also sounds really good.
As mentioned earlier in the episode, this was sent to us by Jeremy Bundy Cook. This is a special edition Kit Kat.
Yes.
From England, and the flavor is lemon drizzle.
And we did kind of a Kit Kat taste test once before, where we tried several flavors.
Because Jeremy had sent us an orange.
Mm-hmm. There was a mint.
Mint, cookies and cream.
Yeah, and then dark chocolate,
and dark
I think.
Chocolate. Yeah. Yeah.
And those were all very good.
The orange one was the best one.
Oh, see, I really... Yeah, it was the best one, they were all so good.
They were all really good, but the orange one was the one that I was like, we need this permanently in the U.S.?
Yeah.
That would be great.
Also, the dark chocolate I'm good with.
Today we're going to try the lemon drizzle.
Yeah, it's called lemon drizzle, which is interesting, because that makes me think a drizzle, I think, is you piped on top, we're just going to see zigzags,
Like a lemon drizzle cake.
Yeah. And so I wonder, is this going to be chocolate with lemon on top, or is it going to be a white chocolate?
Just a regular Kit Kat with lemon flavoring in
Interesting.
It. You know, drizzle, it's kind of a hype word. They didn't want to call it a lemon Kit Kat. It's lemon drizzle, right?
I feel like people use words for a reason.
No.
especially when it comes to marketing.
Marketing, Sheldon.
But that's what I mean.
You hype stuff up.
But I think I agree with hyping things up, but I also think that people expect certain things from a food once they see it.
Well, I don't want to argue about it.
Yes.
I just want to eat this Kit Kat with no more adieu.
But you were right. It is just chocolate on chocolate.
I said adieu. I meant adieu. Just FYI. All right, let's try it.
They're lemon wafers.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. The lemon's inside. It's like lemon cream inside the wafers.
It says two crispy...
Wow.
Two crispy wafer fingers covered with lemon-flavored milk chocolate.
Mm.
Either way, this is chocolatey and lemony.
It is very lemony. The aftertaste is all that, artificial lemon.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
No. Because it's all I can taste. I like it, but it's
I was going to say,
that's a lot.
Are a bigger fan of lemon flavor than anyone I know. You love lemon. It's your favorite flavor.
Yeah, I really like lemon. I think it's very versatile. It can be sweet. It can be tart. It can be sour. And I think especially in desserts, it can really elevate something.
This is really interesting though, because you do not often see lemon and chocolate together.
Usually, chocolate and citrus isn't often mixed.
Well, chocolate and orange is pretty... I'd say that's common, a Terry's chocolate orange.
I think it's common
in... A Jaffa cake?
I think it's common in British cuisine, but in American, we don't combine, chocolate and citrus for the most part.
Mm.
And so I think part of it is my palate, and this is not jiving. The, chocolate and lemon together are very strong flavors.
It's an interesting mix, though. I like it.
I don't think it complements... as well as the orange did. I think the orange is still better.
Oh, I definitely think the orange is better, but this
is better than the cookies and cream. Yes.
I liked all of them.
Yeah, and I think the cookies and cream is fine. I think this is fine.
Mm.
I think I was expecting to like it a little more because it is lemon, and maybe that's me building it up.
That could be it. What if it was a white chocolate lemon?
That's what it should have been. That's what I was expecting from a lemon drizzle. Or... now they're doing the half and half thing, where the top half is one thing and the bottom is chocolate.
Mm. I wonder if it's also tastes maybe a little weird because these have been sitting on my desk at work for a couple months.
No, I don't think it's that as much. It is very good though. I like it.
I like it.
They're tasty.
But now, thanks to Jeremy, we have tried 5 British Kit Kat flavors.
That's wild.
And they're good.
Yeah.
I wish that we've
tried a couple. Yeah, what is it with Kit Kat International? I hear Japan has thousands of different ones.
So I've tried the sake Kit Kats.
And we tried the green tea one,
The
matcha.
Tea ones are so good.
And then they have the strawberry, the Pocky. They had one of those. That one I like.
I've tried that. There's also a creme brulee.
Oh.
One that you're supposed to put in a toaster oven and kind of bake it. I've also tried, I haven't tried it, but they make an oolong tea Kit Kat.
Wow.
I want it more than anything because I love
Japan.
Oolong tea.
God, they're so great.
Yeah, maybe we should do a whole podcast about Japanese entertainment with Japanese snacks.
Oh. That would be different.
Spinoff!
Welcome back to our original programming. Now that we're kind of in the meat of the episode, I figured I want to talk about how there are recurring segments in this. Like, it is a quiz show, and like you said, there are really no rules. You don't know what's going to happen, but there are certain things that happen every time. Like, you've watched a couple of them. What can you think of as something that, like, you almost always see? Like, obviously you have...
On a quiz show?
Yeah, on quiz show. You obviously have Jimmy reading the questions to the people, but then there'll be, like, breaks in between, and then something else will happen.
I know sometimes they bring people on who... It's just like it looks like a random person, but they're famous for something. And then the panelists have to guess who they are.
Yeah. They love bringing in a mystery guest of some sort. And they've had all sorts. Like, they had the guy, whenever it was the 2012 Olympics, they had the guy who pretended to be the queen paratrooping.
Oh.
And so people had to guess who he was. They've also had the woman who took the picture of the blue and black dress. That also looked white and gold.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, you don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
But, like, the panelists do a good job of asking yes or no questions to figure it out. And a lot of the time, they really do figure out who it is.
That's so interesting.
So you're right. That's a recurring bit that always happens. There is another recurring bit that there'll always be some fancy British actor, like a very well-named, respected person, reading something awful. Usually it's an autobiography of, like, a terrible pop star or just a trash person. And so they'll have, nowadays it's, why can't I think of his name? Charles Dance will be reading a lot.
Oh,
but then
they have Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen has read several, yeah. And
I
so,
love those. Yeah, there was a clip of Ian McKellen reading from the Mariah Carey biography.
Oh, God, yeah.
So good. So good.
Like, you almost feel bad about being like, oh man, they made these people read this. Like, they're making them read that.
Oh, it's great fun.
It's great fun. And I mean, there's all sorts of celebrities get in. And that's another big thing, is that there will always be celebrities asking random questions. It's like, hey guys, it's me, Simon Pegg here. I just wanted to ask you guys this. Usually people are, like, promoting a movie or something, but there'll always be that bit. And then you always have... this guy who's got to be huge in London and now is one of my favorites, television presenter Jon Snow.
Oh, yeah.
Who he's like a real news person.
Love the segment with Jon Snow.
So it's evolved over time.
He will, yeah. So the ones that I've seen, he basically will read, like, it sounds like he's reading the news, but he's basically reading the... lyrics from a song, not the lyrics from a song, basically the story that's being told by a popular song. He
yes.
reads it as though it's news, and from that you have to guess what popular song it is.
Exactly.
So yeah. Good.
And then now he will always be dancing to the song at the very end, where it used to just be he would say, like, and that was this song by this person, but now he
dances.
Actually dances, which
oh,
is
that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's such a
lovely
an
man.
Elevation. He is a lovely man. Speaking of lovely things, the children of, what is it, Middlebrook Elementary?
Yes.
That's not right. Mitchellbrook Primary School.
Yes.
They are phenomenal.
They always put on a skit, like a reenactment of a famous historical moment.
And usually they're not even famous, like, historical
right.
moments.
Sometimes
it's just like
pop culture news.
Like, one time they reacted the or reenacted Taylor Swift stealing the... or Kanye stealing the award from Taylor
gotcha.
Swift. That, like, I think they do such a good job of having children show us how absurd adult drama is, where
yep.
you're like...
These kids don't understand what's going on.
They don't understand what's going on, but whenever they put it out like that, you're like, oh yeah, all of this is so dumb. there's a really great joke that that is made during one of them where Russell Brand points out, he's like, I don't think that this is real. I don't like this bit. We didn't put an answer here. And Jimmy's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you're telling me that I'm supposed to believe that after all of this time, we've been doing this show for 10 years and these kids haven't grown up this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of humor I love from the show. I'm trying to think if there are any other big kind of recurring segments. You nailed most of them. That usually it is... there will be other kind of guests that come in, but for the most part, they always have that one mystery guest. But then at the end, too, they'll always have some big weird guest where one time it was Mr. Blobby who terrified Jack Whitehall. Another time it was like an animatronic polar bear. One time it was like all of the famous like Marvel Avengers.
I remember when Mr. Blobby came out.
Oh God.
That's a great moment.
It's a great moment, especially because they like so perfectly set it up earlier that Jack Whitehall hates Mr. Blobby. And like you had to know the producers are back there loving
Blobby.
It.
Mr. Blobby is very scary, especially,
oh, yeah.
I feel like if you grew up with Mr. Blobby, then you're probably better off, but as an American, seeing Mr. Blobby for the first time, you're not prepared.
No, and the noises he makes? I can see how some children would love Mr. Blobby.
Yeah.
I can also see how he would be terrifying to children.
Yep.
Like, there's no middle ground with him, I bet.
And he moves fast.
Yeah, he moves like, quick. And one eye kind of messes you with you.
Like, ooh. I was in the age range of, like, when Barney first aired, I was in the age range for Barney.
Yeah.
And and Barney was a little scary because he was very big, but he never ran.
Yeah, no, he just bounded.
He never ran.
Yeah.
And so that made him seem way less scary. He's never coming after people. And the way that Mr. Blobby runs at Jack Whitehall on that clip is terrifying.
It's so good.
I'm not okay. I'm really upset now.
There are so many good moments like that where you're just like, this person is traumatized and we're laughing at them. But, oh well.
Poor Jack.
As we're kind of winding down a little bit, I want to ask you one more quiz question.
Ooh.
And see, like, I just feel like I have some quiz answers. Usually you're the one asking me things like the word and everything.
That's true.
But I want to ask you.
Okay.
So out of all of these teams, a lot of people have been shuffled together. And you know, like, a lot of people are well known for doing certain things on certain episodes. What is the team of David Walliams and Miranda Hart best known for?
What is their team known for?
What's their team best known for in the Big Fat Quiz Show? They hold a record that still hasn't been broken to this date. So they appeared in 2011 together. And they did something in that episode that people have still not done
today. Is it
today.
Like the most correct answers?
It's the opposite.
The least amount of answers. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. They didn't get anything right?
They're the first team to not reach double digits. You get 50 questions. They didn't get 10 of 50. They didn't
Why
get...
Why is that so funny?
Especially because, like, I think it's funny because... They leaned into it where...
But with both of them, I would have expected that they would have done well. And I think that's why it's funny.
And I think both of them are very smart. And I think they started doing the comedy route that after the first Goth Detectives, like, yeah, that shook David Walliams. And whenever he came back, he did not care about the show anymore and was only like, well, this is a joke show, is it? And I think took that seriously. and so they still to this day hold the record of the lowest score of any team in the show's run.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I love Miranda Hart. Funny.
Yeah, I love Miranda Hart. I mean, there's a bunch of people that have appeared once or twice and then got too famous. Mm. Where I feel like Miranda Hart's one of those where it's like, okay, you're probably too big now to come back on the show. Like Russell Brand after Get Him to the Greek got too big. But it was funny, like, he had just done Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
And filmed one of them. And they're calling him, like, Big Hollywood and stuff.
Yeah.
And he remarks that the only reason he chooses specific roles in Hollywood is if they say that he can keep his hair. If they say he has to cut his hair, he won't take it.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's
it's
him.
It's part of his personality.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed. is there anything else you still want to talk about with the show? Are there, like, how British is this show, do you think?
Very.
Very, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, already established America doesn't do quiz shows.
But I think even this is more British than Taskmaster. Seems like you could get into it, figure out what it is. I think with Would I Lie to You...
You're right, because, like, my parents could kind of watch Taskmaster with me and kind of get what was going on, because they're tasks. But this show has so much, it's so rooted in, I mean, worldwide pop culture, yes, but also a lot of English pop culture.
So much English culture.
So, yeah, and no, then, my parents would hate this
and
show.
And then on top of it, there are inside jokes that go back to, like, previous years of the show.
Yes.
That, like, it requires you to have watched them or have just seen people do other panel shows. So I think, like, out of everything that we've watched so far, this is one of the most British things,
yeah,
I think.
That's true.
Do you think it could work in America, this concept? Because I feel like...
I don't know.
I think there's something at the core here that if we had more of like a panel circuit of people...
Yeah.
Like if they didn't try to jam in, you know, celebrities trying to pitch their... If they didn't try to do the Dancing with the Stars Masked Singer type of C-listers.
Yeah.
If they tried to just give us like comedians, like... If you're giving us, like, Nick Kroll needs to be on the show, Jason Manzoukas, give me June Diane Raphael, give me the people that are, give me the McElroys,
so
give me,
something.
Like, those kind of people.
Here's what I think.
Give me the college
because
humor.
Because in that way, if we're talking about Jason Manzoukas and Nick Kroll, I mean, these are people that have made this type of humor work on a podcast.
Yeah.
I think that this could work in a podcast format.
Oh, for Americans?
Yeah. And
okay.
Because I think that a podcast audience would eat this up in a way that a TV audience wouldn't. Americans want to
see this being like
crazy things happening on TV. They don't want to see people sitting at desks, unfortunately.
I think it could be a filmed podcast, one that like it's live on YouTube where you can watch, but it's mostly audio.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good way to adapt it because you're right. I think they would have to make the segments like clearly lined and with like a giant title card.
And
or
especially
something.
Too, because like podcasts have such a like their comedy is so big on podcasts. There's so many podcasts that are just straight comedy. And I think it would do well.
Yeah, I think it could do well if they leaned in on like right now, I think the only group that's really doing a good job of funny like quiz type shows is College Humor right now. They have two really good ones. One is called Actually, where they'll give you a statement and something in that statement is wrong. And you have to say, actually, and then correct them.
Oh!
So that one's a lot of fun. And then they have another show called The Game Changers Show, I think, where it seems like this, where there are no rules, it's chaos. Sometimes the rule is that one person cannot win the game. And so, like, that, I feel like Gen Z is into this type of humor.
Yeah.
I think like older Americans may not as much, but I could see something like this working.
Yeah.
Down the line. If they like, if an exec just let it be made fully as this show is, like, don't water it down. Don't try to Americanize it. Like, cause that's when it's going to fail.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Why would you recommend somebody to watch this show?
I think if you like Would I Lie to You, you would like this.
Yeah. I think same. Yeah. If you're somebody who has watched a lot of the panel shows, you've probably already seen this. If you haven't, you got to get in on it fast.
And I think Americans who like Noel Fielding and Richard Ayoade would really like their episodes that they're on.
Yeah.
So
same with like Rob Brydon early on. Like he's in a lot of the early ones, which are a little rough, but he is so good in all of them.
He's great.
And whenever he finally gets a win, it's such a good moment. Like I think it is really nice to watch how it grows over time. This is a great background show. I think it's a really good one to just have on.
It's a very easy watch and it's a very, it just makes you laugh.
Yeah.
It's like Taskmaster in that way that you can always just put it on. It's not going to stress you out. It's going to make you laugh and chuckle. It's great.
Exactly. It's a great show. I mean, I think it's phenomenal. Everyone should check it out. Most of the episodes are on YouTube now if you're an American. And if you're not, if you're in England, you can watch it on TV, obviously. There's so much we didn't talk about on this show.
There's a lot to cover.
There's a lot of amazing bits. I didn't give a lot of people enough credit, including Rob Brydon. Like, that man is a legend. He's so good on this show. I feel like I didn't talk about him enough during this. And my favorite bit is when he ends up accidentally hosting the show. But there's a lot of bits like that. If you want to watch more of them, go check it out on YouTube. It's so worth your time.
Are you ready for your word?
I am very ready.
Okay.
Just like Rob Delaney, I have spent so much time studying and I'm about to wow you all.
So this is the part of the podcast where Sheldon tries to guess a British word he's never heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So the word this time is ginnel. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Ginnel.
Ginnel. G-I-N-N-E-L.
See, I think you are right in thinking that it's like fennel, but you're wrong. It's ginnel. So, I mean, I think we all know now what gin is made from. Juniper berries. But it didn't used to be. It used to be made from this plant called ginnel. And, I mean, over time, you know, like, we've realized ginnel is not a... It's not the best plant for the flavor, you know? Like, they both... So our modern gin doesn't use it, but now we have all this ginnel growing everywhere, and it's just like memories of a forgotten time. We are like, this is a weed, and then some old lady's like, that's not a weed, that used to make gin. But the young kids, they just don't know. Okay. They like the juniper berries.
So you think that ginnel, mm-hmm. or ginnel...
No, but it's ginnel.
You think that it is a plant that used to make gin.
Yeah, not anymore, though.
Interesting. That is a very interesting idea, and you seemed very sure that it was correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you're incorrect. No, this is apparently a common word in Manchester. A ginnel is an alleyway between houses.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So a ginnel.
It's just down the ginnel.
Do you know something weird I learned?
What?
New York City only has 4 alleys. Like, that's wild.
I don't understand what that means.
Like, an alley,
yeah.
in New York City is something that has a blocked end. Like, it is something you can go down and can't go all the way through.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought just the space...
So the space between is, it's called something else, but for the most part, an alley has to have like a wall, something that stops it.
I don't think that I ever knew that.
And for the most part, 3 of the 4 alleys in New York are not filmable locations. They're not good to get cars and camera crews in. So if you've ever seen a New York alley in a movie or TV show, almost 100% of the time, it's this one alley in New York. It is not representative of New York City. But we see it thousands
really
of times.
That's really interesting. Kind of like the one in Spider-Man.
Yeah,
with
no,
the upside down kiss.
That's exactly it.
Because when I lived in New York, there was a couple times I would pass by this one alley on my way to school every time in New York. And every single time I was like, that looks like the alleyway from Spider-Man.
It could have been. Like,
that's interesting.
It's one particular alley.
I didn't know that that's the definition of an alley or a... Ginnel.
Well, but a ginnel is something slightly different, as we've learned. So I think that's it. There's just little nomenclature that separates it. But yeah, little alleyway.
That's fascinating. We're learning so much.
Yeah, on the quiz show episode.
On the quiz show episode. Well, thank you everyone for joining us. We're going to post a picture of our Kit Kats on Instagram. Yeah. If you want to take a look, you can find us on Instagram. We're Anglophiles Podcast. You can also write to us at anglephilespodcast@gmail.com, files with an F.
Let us know what your favorite episode of Quiz Show is. I would love to like read off a couple in the future if we get some. Like, you love a certain episode and really want to let us know, please write in and tell us your favorite.
Yep. You can also recommend things for us to watch. We do have a long and growing list of things that we have to cover for this.
Great recommendations.
We're trying.
Well, we want to also like mix it up too. You know, like we don't want to do a couple of modern, like several modern things in a row, several modern TV shows. We want to switch it up a bit. So we're getting to it. Like Danny said, we'll get to them.
We'll get to them. Yep. Thank you everyone for joining us. Remember, keep calm and...
Mo Farah in it. It's not Mo Farah.
Hello, quick insert here. Earlier in the podcast, Sheldon was talking about British athlete Mo Farah and referring to Mo Farah as a she, which is interesting, Sheldon, because Mo Farah is in fact a male athlete. So I just wanted to pop in here real quick and clear that up, just in case we had anyone listening who is a fan of Mo Farah or a fan of information that is correct. So, yeah, there you go. There's your correction. Take care, everyone. Thanks.